Dave, how you been?
Pretty good, Bill. Just trying to keep up with the whirlwind and roller coaster that is Florida recruiting the last couple of days. And Gator fans aren't happy right now, Bill.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. And here's a little lesson for everybody. The ebb and flow of recruiting doesn't define the season, but fans think it does. Emotionally, they take it like it does. And that's not the way this works. But anyways, Joe Williams decommitted. Tell everybody about him.
But it was out of Louisiana, and, you know, he got the commitment. It was off the heels of all the Chris Steele stuff that went on with Florida. You know, okay, so you were thinking that you lose Chris Steele, but you end up getting a four-star out of Louisiana, a cornerback there. You know, we knew it is tough to hang on to, Louisiana kids, but Florida's had two in the last two cycles there with Chester Kimbrough and Brad Stewart, you know, defensive backs that have come out of Louisiana and on the Florida roster. But, you know, he took a visit to Alabama, and you could tell just through social media that he really enjoyed that trip to Alabama. I think he had some friends there or made some friends there as well. You could tell some social media posts. And he kind of tweeted out last night that he was going to have a big announcement at 6 o'clock. That tweet was deleted. And then about 8 o'clock last night, 8:30, he, you know, kind of pinned his decommitment tweet last night. And it's just basically 3 weeks after committing to Florida, so it was a really, really short-lived commitment there for Williams. And that was, you know, on the heels, you know, we'll get into it. You know, Florida had two commits over the weekend, and then one of the biggest offensive line targets last night. Bill, it's become a common theme, committed to Georgia.
Fans are quirky this way. And this goes back to when I got in this business in the mid-late 80s. They place their emotions on an individual recruit like it's going to count against them the next season. Like it's that right there. That news right there is going to cost them a game in September somewhere. I'll give you a good example. This is the Ray Golf era. And we're doing the show, and Georgia is getting all these players. Signing day, and I don't remember who the player was, but a player didn't go to Georgia. It was signing day, and he had to make a decision. He had not decided yet, and he chose another team. So we had a guy, and Georgia ended up with like a top two or three class that year too. That Georgia recruiting well is not a new thing. It's decades old. So we get a call on the show from a Georgia fan in Augusta somewhere, wherever. It says, How did Georgia do? And I explained how they did and how well it went. And he asked about the player that day who went the other way. And I said, well, he committed to another team. And he says, so that's all we got? That's the way fans look at it, Dave. It's the latest guy controls their emotions.
Yeah, Bill, and that's the thing about recruiting right now and how much it's covered. You know, you kind of, especially doing what I do, you kind of have to cover it for off-season talk and all that. So, you know, it gets magnified because, you know, that's all that's going on. There's no games going on. You can only talk about what happened last season so much, or what may happen, you know, coming up between September and December coming up. You know, it's magnified. I mean, recruits are taking visits right now and camping on campuses and all that stuff, and that's the talk right now. You have all commits taking place all over the nation right now, and yeah, and you're right. You kind of just have to take it the word for what it's worth. Try and look at the big picture when things like this happen, and look at trends. And, you know, that's the one thing. You know, it's not necessarily where Florida's ranked at now, right now. You know, it's still top 10 class, much better start than what it was last year. Don't know necessarily what to attribute that to. Can you attribute it to winning 10 games last year? I think that's some of it, but I think you can attribute it to, you know, Mullen being in the state of Florida, being in Gainesville, building relationships. I think that probably had more to do with it then. But, you know, you look at trends and what's happening, and it's right now, it's, you know, losing in-state guys to out-of-state schools, and namely some of them to your rival.
Gator Dave with us. Gators Breakdown is the podcast. And again, we will let you know how you can get that. So what is the good news in recruiting?
Two commits over the weekend. Offensive line, where Florida needs some depth right now. And Jovens, and I hope I'm saying his last name right, Jean-Vier there. For both of these kids are from South Florida, two offensive line commits, and Gerald Mincy as well. So Jovan's committed Friday night and Gerald Mimpsley on Sunday. Jovan's Javier, 6'3", 350 pounds, previously committed to Louisville. You could tell John Hevesy, Dan Mullen really target the big-bodied offensive linemen, especially if you're going to have those interior guards there. That's what they're looking at. They're looking, if they can get them around this 350 range, probably the 330, 350 range, and kind of mold their bodies when they get here. These guys are not going to be asked to come in here right away and contribute. They got some bad weight to get rid of. They need to get their bodies ready. It was a three-star. Javier is 745th ranked player. So, and I'll go with Mincy as well. Gerald Mincy, it was out of Cardinal Gibbons where Chris Bogle also came from, current Gator freshman who's on campus now out of Fort Lauderdale. 6'5", 325 pounds. He'll probably be that swing type of player where they'll, try and, tackle first. And then if they maybe have to move him to guard, he'll have that ability to do so. But two three-star offensive linemen. Bill, the offensive line is so hard to gauge. I know a lot of fans were disappointed because these were three-star recruits. But along the offensive line, that it's more about coming together, five guys coming together as a unit. Would you like to see, four or five star guys there? Absolutely. But, a lot of development has to be made there. It's really hard to, I think for scouts to kind of really key in on offensive linemen as far as scouting goes, because, you get so many more chances to scout the skill players because of, 7-on-7 competitions and things like, and it's pretty much easier to look at a quarterback, look at a wide receiver, look at a running back and see what they bring to a table more so than, the guys that are in the trenches there. So yes, like I said, would you like to have 4 or 5 star kids coming in and being on that offensive line? Absolutely. But, first of all, there's not many 4 or 5 star offensive linemen out there, and especially in the state of Florida. The state of Florida is not necessarily known for producing that type of talent. It's more known as your skill, your speed type of player. So, where Florida's recruiting from, it's going to be kind of slim pickings along the offensive line.
Where do you think, after you get past Georgia and Florida, how close is Tennessee's roster to Florida's roster right now?
I don't think it's that far behind. It's funny. I was going through some of the preseason magazines yesterday, I was reading a little bit on Tennessee and what the opposing coaches kind of think of Tennessee. And one thing that really did stick out to me is there was an opposing coach that said the talent at Tennessee is not as bad as they are making it out to be. So it kind of sounds like maybe Tennessee and the Tennessee staff maybe publicly slam on Butch Jones and what he left behind. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think the talent there was kind of in relation to where it ended up in the national rankings. I think all the good the scouting services and the recruiting services do. Tennessee is probably one of those programs where a lot of that talent didn't necessarily live up to the billing, or it could have just been more the development under Butch Jones just wasn't there, and maybe it's kind of unearthed with what Jeremy Pruitt and now with Jim Chaney there as offensive coordinator. I think we'll see an uptick. I do think, and I said it when it was hired, I think Pruitt was a good hire for Tennessee. I'm going to have to learn along the way as a first-year head coach. And, Florida fans saw that with Will Muschamp, and you kind of take baby steps and maybe see where it goes. But I think Pruitt there might be much more better, maybe a better fit for, what Tennessee's looking for, where Tennessee's at right now than when Will Muschamp had to follow up or Urban Meyer. I think there's not as much pressure there, and it'll come. Don't get me wrong. I think you saw steps last year, being able to beat Kentucky last year, and something Florida couldn't able to do, and a lot of other SEC East teams had trouble with there. So I don't think that talent is far down as people think with Tennessee, but I think this year will be a big determining factor in where that goes. You're still at a point where you're not really relying on a lot of the guys that you brought in for production. It's still a lot of the talent that was left over from the previous coaching staff. So I don't think it's that far down behind what, especially, it is far down from what Georgia has, and I still think maybe just a hair below what Florida has.
Tell everybody how they could get Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/Gators Breakdown. Tonight, I didn't record an episode last night because my guest, Connor Ruggiero from Saturday Down South, would join me. He had an article last week of kind of maybe taking a different look at Florida and maybe how close last year was to, you know, not necessarily all sunshine and rainbows, maybe taking a look, a different look. You know, Bill, they say some things are not as good as it seems or as bad as it seems. So, you know, we'll get a look at the Gators and his thoughts on you know, a lot of the close games that Florida had last year and maybe how that translates into this year.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Thanks, Bill.